Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby, and we are proud to be partnered with Scrum Magazine. Log on to scrummagazine.co.uk for all the latest news from the pro, women's and international game. Issue 111 is out next week and it's featuring us previewing the Autumn International, as well as lots of other people who know way more about rugby than we do. That's scrummagazine.co.uk. Get on there and subscribe. Now, on to the pod. Who has more points in the Champions Cup, Chris Dean or Toulon? Who is Sam Skinner and who is Pewped? Here we go. All right, and we are back in Alan's flat. Little Alan Jacobson, the cat, has just done another shit.
It smells so bad.
What's wrong with that little thing?
The podcast studio is in terrible state.
I can't, but I've started giving her seafood. It's an absolute nightmare.
Alan, you're better than that.
You're not right.
Thank you very much for coming back to join us, guys. Listening to us on iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's been a bumper week. A bumper week backed up by the teams winning twice in Europe on Twitter, and that is at Thistle Rugby Pod, and on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and the mailbag. Good news brings lots of emails, which is great, and that is at thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Shall I start off with one?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is from, it's great, it comes from the East Coast of the US, from a guy called Dan Kuster in Rhode Island. Thanks very much for writing in, Dan. It says, Thistle Boys, I'm at the end of my rope. As a loyal listener from the beginning, I have heard every one of your podcasts. It feels it's fair to warn you that I've had about enough. I should warn all our listeners that this is about 9 paragraphs long. I'm going to going to skip forward a little bit. The member of your team, I really don't know all your names, sorry, who is constantly so negative on Scottish rugby is driving me away. Alan?
I just don't think I'm that negative anymore.
I think you were at the start, but...
Yeah, I was, you know. I mean, but Edinburgh were total shit when we started. I was very harsh against Edinburgh.
But now I'm a bit worried that it's maybe me.
Could be you. He goes on to say, I'm an American who has been a Scottish rugby fan since 1989. My heart broke when Gavin Hastings missed that easy penalty against England in the 1991 Rugby World Cup.
When he was 2 years old?
Yeah, fuck.
Sorry, that's ridiculous.
He's 2 years old, he remembers it.
And he remembers being heartbroken.
How do you know he was born in 1988?
It says, no, he's born in 1989. He says he's been a Scottish rugby fan.
All right.
All right, fair enough.
Luke, you are the negative one. Anyway, he goes on. The constant negativity from that member of your team is too much. He's always predicting defeat, even when the team is playing well. We placed third in the Six Nations. We were a few plays away from winning the whole thing. So
that, I'm sorry, we predict mainly wins in like quite an overly optimistic manner these days, I think.
Yeah. I predicted an Edinburgh win v Montpellier.
In no Montpellier.
In Montpellier.
I said Toulon were gonna, I said Edinburgh were gonna beat Toulon by 12 points. Maybe that wasn't optimistic enough.
So there we go. There's plenty there. Dan, we do appreciate the feedback, and I think we have tried to become more positive. I think when we started, I will put my hands up and say that I described Ben Toulis as stealing a living. And I think he
had a real thing against Ben Toulis.
He's back and he's playing really well. So
you know what? I think Scotland are gonna lose all the Autumn Internationals. So we got any better reviews on iTunes?
I do. So this is titled Might Do in a Pinch, authored by The Hairy Coup. And it says, the self-styled only podcast which cares about Scottish rugby is just about an acceptable methadone until the superior insights of the Scottish Rugby Blog podcast are available.
There you go.
And then he says at the end, to be fair, the quizzes appear to be the most researched and polished aspect of the show.
If that comment isn't ironic, then I think that guy's mad. The Hairy Coup does not know what he's talking about.
I can't believe that. Your quizzes are always wrong.
Yeah. The amount of research that I put into the quizzes is near nil. It's almost, what can I find on my 5-minute walk to my flat?
To be fair to the Hairy Coup, he has given us 5 stars.
Thank you very much. And
you know, got to take the 5 stars.
Other people out there listening, 5 stars are available, abuse or not. Please just get in touch.
Be as negative as you want. Just give us 5 stars.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I like
we
that.
We are not picky. Right, what are we going to get into? We're going to have a look at the news. Lots of things going on, including the Autumn International squad announced last week. We're then going to look back at an amazing weekend of European rugby with Edinburgh smashing 3-time champions Toulon and Glasgow going down and beating Cardiff and picking up a bonus point as well. And then we're looking forward to the games at the weekend when we return to Pro 14 action, Glasgow against Munster, Edinburgh against Zebra. News. It feels like it's been a perpetual news item for about a month now. Brian has actually, officially moved to Toulon.
It's gone. Goodbye dinner with Masaga.
Yeah, I saw that.
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Looked good.
A few beers.
That's been confirmed by Glasgow. In the press release, it said that it will allow them to strengthen in key areas.
Interesting.
So, sounds like they've, I reckon Bujalal has given them some cash money for Brian.
Sounds good.
What is Bujalal up to?
Take Masaga. Take him as well.
Yeah, I know.
Take
him all.
Yeah. Look, he didn't really play very much. He wasn't a starter. If you got some cash, great.
Exactly. It'd be interesting to see what they do
with Bill Matt out of his contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Be interesting to see what they do with said cash. But best of luck to Brian. Bit of corporate news. We haven't done much corporate stooging for the SRU for a couple of weeks. They've sold out 10 games in a row now, Murrayfield, for internationals. The Fiji game, the first of the Autumn internationals, if you don't count the funny game against Wales, is now sold out. So the South Africa game sold out as well. It's just Argentina with some tickets available. I mean, that is a pretty amazing turnaround for Scottish rugby, though, selling out games like Fiji. It used to be that we couldn't even sell out Italy in the Six Nations.
Or you'd have to maybe sort of take one of those matches to Pittodrie or
McDermott
Park or something. So yeah, it's great. The marketing machine of the SRU is like doing a really good job, it seems.
I think they're doing a great job, but I think it is also, you know, on the pitch has become so much more
for
enjoyable.
Sure.
People want to come and see a winning team playing good rugby.
Definitely.
And ever since our tireless campaign allowed you to pay on cards at the bars, it's just a much better match day experience.
Which
as well.
Chief Operating Officer Don McKay admitted was entirely down to us.
Exactly. So we have that sort of power, which is great, isn't it? But I think overall, fantastic news. More money in the coffers.
I mean, under 12s go for £1. So it's not like...
Just to the Fiji match.
So under 12s, it's
£1. I think that's great.
Footing.
I like that. Why don't they do that for Edinburgh matches?
I think they do.
I don't think they do.
They
not for £1.
Oh, well.
I mean, pounds, I'll collect them.
Just 60,000, like, 10-year-olds. Just losing the shit.
That'd be absolutely amazing. Slightly bad news coming out of the Edinburgh squad off the back of their win against Toulon. Magnus Bradbury has dislocated his shoulder. Not much sort of indication as of yet about how long that's going to keep him out, but we do know that Adam Ash went up to St. Andrews to sort of cover for him in training. But I don't. It hasn't really been said that he's been sent home from the squad or anything like that. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on with that.
I feel like dislocations can be like, can take sometimes like 2 weeks and sometimes can be like 9 month injuries.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like shoulder, I don't really know with the shoulder. They haven't really given a range of how long he's going to be out for.
It really does depend if it's a bad one or not.
Yeah.
I think it depends if it like sort of mucks up your ligaments and things like that.
Yeah.
So, well.
It's a shame because I was looking forward to seeing Bradbury over the autumn. I think he's had a really good start to the season and it's a position that we, there's still question marks around.
Yeah, I think he's really, really stepped up, particularly in those last two rounds of Europe. He's really, really shown himself as that abrasive ball carrier, right in that sort of Cocker's mould that we're looking for.
I'm just looking at the initial squad. That means that Hamilton has been added as well as Ash.
So Hamilton wasn't in the initial squad?
Yeah, but they've looks like they've both been added at
some
point.
There's players that aren't in the Scotland squad.
Very good point.
It's like 42 people or something.
Yeah, it's 41-man squad.
Well, why don't we jump on to talk about that? It was the biggest bit of news last week. Gregor Townsend, I think, initially named 40 players, but there's a couple of people training with the squad as well. The big talking point, Exeter second row, England under 20 cap, Sam Skinner joins up with Scotland. Guys, what do you think of that one?
Well, I mean, look, he's from Glenrothes, and he's come through the system, and everyone knew about him for a long time, so...
I thought you were being serious for a second.
What's the surprise?
His dad's from Ayr?
Yeah, his dad has Ayr roots, I saw. I mean, it was just surprising because I think we expected an extra second row to be called up, but not Sam Skinner. I thought Atkins was going to be called up.
Which actually, I think it's like Machiavellian from like Townsend. He's obviously been briefing the name Ollie Atkins for about 3 months, knowing that he's actually working on Skinner. but I mean, he looks like a serious prospect.
Yeah, no. And he isn't starting second row for Exeter when they're fully fit, but he's probably first on the, he's on the bench.
Yeah.
And next cab off the rank. So, you know, they're not a bad side.
And he's 23 years old, so he's got like room to develop. He seems like a great guy to get into the net.
Yeah.
Great. Based purely on the fact that loads of England supporters on Twitter and England rugby journalists were seemingly quite upset that he'd gone into the Scotland setup. I'm taking that as a good thing.
Definitely.
I think from his perspective, though, it probably makes sense, like, in terms of, from a pure cash point of view, he's probably not going to get in the England squad for a long time. And if he does, it's probably going to be for a couple of caps, just because the strength and depth at second row is just so strong.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But then at the same time, he'll have given up his England qualified status within Exeter, so he becomes less valuable to Exeter.
Yeah.
Which maybe means he's like, well...
So what you're saying, Big Brian's gone to Toulon.
Yeah. Well,
Sam Skinner's coming north.
Man, you put the pieces together.
I can see that happening.
I can easily see that happening.
That'd be great.
That'd be really, really
Glasgow good. Need that kind of player at the moment.
Yeah. There you go.
Sounds good. I'm up for that. Other talking points, obviously Sam Johnson, it's been fairly well trailed that he was going to get called up, and Blade Thompson from the Scarlets. I think we knew they were probably going to be added, but they're the new caps in the squad. Are you excited to see both of them?
Yeah, I think it's worth giving... We're pretty strong on centre at the moment, but I think it's worth giving Johnson a shot. I think that he can add something a bit different. Like, he's sort of a mix of a playmaker, but then he has that quite abrasive physical style to his play as well.
I think we'll come on to talk in detail about Glasgow's win against Cardiff, but Sam Johnson, a very, very good game.
Considering he's just come back from injury.
Yeah.
And then Blade Thompson seems to be playing really well for Scarlets, and I think adds something different to our back row.
I didn't realise Blade Thompson was bald. Because I've always seen him with like his scrum cap on.
And he's got a big beard.
Big beard. He is one scary looking motherfucker.
Terrifying.
Which is what we've actually lacked since Al Strokosh.
Yeah.
Since Strokosh retired.
A scary baldy. Scott Lawson was really bald.
He wasn't scary though.
Not scary, was he?
Does it like an orc. So.
Any other significant sort of omissions or sort of close calls within the Scotland squad?
I tell you, I thought I might get called up. Johnny Williams, Newcastle centre.
I think that would have been a big coup if they managed to get him because he is English and Welsh qualified.
He played Welsh under 16s, played English under 20s, but can represent Scotland as well and started for Newcastle at 12 in the Toulon and Montpellier games.
Yeah.
And I think he has probably had conversations with Eddie Jones.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he's been playing really well.
Yeah, no, he has. And I just wondered,
maybe he's hedging his bets.
Yeah, no, that's fair, because he's about 23 as well, I think.
Yeah, he's pretty young.
So, but look, if Scotland could get him, I think he's a better player than Sam Johnson, I would say.
Yeah, probably. He's younger. He's got probably like more potential.
Yeah,
ultimately.
I think there's still one more round of Tooney's sort of like random finds, and that'll be the Six Nations squad, because that's when I think people who are thinking, if I've got a shot, if I'm getting invited to an international camp now, there's a shot, if I plump for Scotland, that I might go to the World Cup, as opposed to being in that England 45 man squad, you've got much less chance.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think we will still see a couple more names added.
So it's so exciting when it had like the pre-announcement.
I love the Sam Skinner one.
Yeah, that was amazing. No one saw that coming.
It's quite interesting. My brother was waiting for his child to be born on the day of the Scotland announcement, and like I've been sort of on tenterhooks for it, and I saw like a message popped up out of the blue, and I was like, Christ, this is it. And it was, who the hell is Sam Skinner? So that was quite nice.
He's going to name his boy Sam Skinner. Then.
He's going to name his
girl.
Sam Skinner.
Actually, that works.
Samantha Skinner. Samantha Skinner. Leslie, that works quite nicely, actually. Heard it here first. any other big talk? My other point is four hookers, four scrum halves. On the hookers, we asked for your thoughts on Twitter today. Someone tweeted in, which hooker do you pick? Match day squad for Scotland, which two are you taking now?
McAnally and Brown.
Oh, 100% those two. I just don't know who you start.
Ooh.
I think McAnally.
I think you've got to start Rambo at the moment.
I think Brown's playing at a better level than McAnally at the moment.
McAnally's got that credit in the bank, though, in terms of how well he has played for Scotland for the best part of 2 years.
Yeah. Maybe I guess they both kind of offer... So McAnally gets you that extra ball carrier, which potentially... Actually, Scotland need more than Edinburgh, because obviously Edinburgh got Bill Matter.
Mm.
So maybe, depending on who you've got in the back row,
you
want to have
point.
McAnally in.
Yep.
But also, Brown probably is the most like physical of the forwards, or most confrontational of the Scotland forwards.
He does offer that.
He loves it. In that Saracens game, you could see he was absolutely loving it.
Yeah, yeah.
Annoying, do you put Fraser Brown in the back row?
Oh, shut up.
Don't be silly.
He was good against Argentina.
He was great against Argentina. Everyone was good against Argentina.
That's true. They were hanging.
Any other big talking points from the AIs, do you think?
James Lang not getting called up, but I don't think
the pudding not getting called up.
Yeah, we called it, but...
The thing is that with Russell, Hastings and Horn, you just don't need it.
You just don't need it. And like even no room for Rui Jackson is like, I can play everywhere sort of ethos.
I was quite surprised with that, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think if you want to have like the highest quality squad, then maybe you get rid of someone who just has utility value.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No offense to him, but
yeah, I just think the one sad omission is Duncan Taylor, who I really want to try and get. I want to see him in the Scotland shirt pre World Cup at some point.
Yeah,
because I've got a fear he might miss the Six Nations.
Yeah, he's both his ligaments in his knee.
Yeah, and then you're obviously... Oh, and I guess in a World Cup, you do have the sort of four warm-up games, but you obviously want to give him as much time as possible. Because I don't think him and Hugh Jones have played together.
No, don't think they would have.
No, so they won't have been. And it seems to be what would be our best centre partnership.
Exactly.
So that is that. We're going to look into that. We'll be back next week. Obviously, Scotland playing the first of their technical Autumn Internationals a week on Saturday down in Cardiff in the Doddy Weir Cup. So we will be back and we'll have a look at the squads for that. But before that, why don't we look back at what was one of, certainly in my memory, one of the best weekends of sort of Scottish club rugby in sort of recent memory, definitely. Let's start on Saturday. Edinburgh downing three times Champions Cup winners, Toulon, 40 points to 14. Tries from Big Ben Toulis, Henry Purgos, Stuart McAnally, and... friend of the pod, bonus point legend, Chris Dean. Unbelievable.
Chris Dean has more points than Toulon this year in the Champions Cup.
Chris Dean's got 2 points. He's got a third of Edinburgh's points.
Yeah.
And more points than Toulon, who've only got one. So, is he the most valuable man in Scottish rugby? Discuss.
MVP.
He is, yeah. No, he needs to, that's why they've got rid of Brian. At an SOU level, they need to transfer funds across to Edinburgh.
We need... Christine's salary demands are getting too big and we need to hold on to him. Alan, you watched the whole thing. Why don't you take us through your thoughts for it? The best Edinburgh performance you've seen ever?
No, I don't think so, because I don't want to start off on a negative.
But you're gonna.
But Toulon were shit. It was a really good performance from Edinburgh, but let's be completely honest and say that that Toulon team, especially the pack, were absolutely awful. And it's just lazy and not particularly well organised.
Yeah.
Discounting that, I thought Edinburgh, especially, I mean, you still got to win the game. And the Edinburgh pack has got such a good balance to it. Like, Mata, McAnally and Watson, and Bradbury, just four great strike runners.
Yeah.
And then you've just got Dale, Gilchrist and Toulis, who just have such unreal work rates across the pitch.
Mm.
And they just basically ran that Toulon pack off the pitch.
It's what they had to do. I mean, there was some... Planet Rugby did a really good analysis, actually, on that match and a few of Toulon's recent matches and where they're going wrong. And they're just lumbering, unfit. No motivation or cohesion, which means that they just don't work hard. And there was one clip of Mata taking the ball off the base, going blind, setting up a ruck off a scrum, and the Toulon front row stand up after the scrum and like turn their backs and walk back. And that's by the time the scrum has got there and passed it, he's basically passing it to the Toulon front row. They look like a Cali One team. No offense to Strathmore. let's focus on Edinburgh. I think the style that Edinburgh played in as well, that it wasn't just grinding out a game, which maybe they would have done in past. It was a really stylish, clinical victory and really fun to watch.
Absolutely agree. Matt Scott had an absolutely fantastic game, certainly set up that first try with a brilliant break.
Yeah.
Do you think he's in with a shot to get a start for Scotland this autumn?
I think he'll get a start. I don't think he is the starting 12.
You don't think he's the starting 12? You still think they're looking for Dunbar, Jones?
Yeah, I just think from the few times they played together, there was just a very nice balance between those two players. But I think if Scott continues at his trajectory, then he's going to be fighting, like, knocking on the door.
He's been brilliant.
And actually, I thought with Scott and Wee Jimmy, obviously they were good in attack, but they were against Bastereau and Fekitoa. And whilst obviously Bastereau and Fekitoa were making yards, they weren't making breaks.
No, the defence was really
strong. And I don't
think
you can ask Scott and Wee Jimmy to be making dominant tackles in that situation. Your job is to get them down.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And so I thought that was actually a really great, great thing to see. Mm. And then we're going to talk about Wee Darcy.
I was about to talk about Darcy. I was going to mention him within the AIs. He is invited to train with the Scotland squad. So him and Luke Crosby. Are both training with the Scotland squad. So that's 41 and 42. Luke Hamilton's there, 43. Adam Ash, 44. So
there you go.
Everyone who's playing for a first team in Scotland. I thought he was fantastic again.
Yeah, he just packs a bit of a punch for a little guy. And he's just so quick.
He's so quick and his feet are fantastic. That line break he made to sort of set up the amazing front row try.
Front row union.
What a pass from Nell, by the way. Nell just sort of slipping it to McAnally on the outside line.
He kind of chucked it. Like, Sevier was pretty close to intercepting it. Yeah. And if he hadn't, it would have just been like...
Hey, you've got to draw the man.
That's true.
WP Nell plays right on the line.
Yeah. But the thing I like about Darcy Graham as well is he... like, gets himself involved and seems to actually have a really good rugby brain. Like, he understands where the space is and cuts nice lines rather than just being a great athlete, which I suppose he has to do considering he's not got the bulk of a Doohan or someone.
I know Bill Matter got a lot of the plaudits post-game, and I think you're almost, like, entranced by Bill Matter during a match.
Yeah, so,
incredible.
But actually, some of the stats that came out and a few people were sharing on Twitter was... Hamish Watson always seems to find his form just before internationals.
Yeah.
Because he's not done that much this season.
No, he hasn't.
He's been quite subdued.
He's been working on his hat business. He's doing other things.
Yeah, you've got to have a side gig.
He's got to have a side gig.
But
he's doing great.
So he had an absolute great game, but he was 17 tackles, no missed, 6 carries for 42 metres, and 3 turnovers.
Ah, oh, so good.
What do you want from a number 7?
I know.
Like, that's actually like the perfect stat.
Yeah.
And there was one moment where he had a carry from sort of the 5-meter line and was just like classic, like pinball Watson, just knocking boys off left, right, and centre. So,
yeah. But it's amazing when he runs, because he does run upright, which is one of the things you're told not to do. But it's just, yeah. His upper body strength is so much.
He's such a beast.
He just rides the challenges.
It is. It's great to see.
No, great. And then Sunday.
Sunday.
Warriors.
Absolutely. Just let me get the little rundown.
Trotted down to the local.
Down the local. Couple pints of Guinness.
I had a wee lag of shandy, actually.
You did have a shandy, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was nice. It was good they gave us our own little TV, though.
That was nice.
There was a football match on. They were like, obviously, oh, everyone's nice. Here for Glasgow Cardiff, right?
On a Sunday afternoon.
So that was Glasgow 29 against Cardiff Blues 29-12. Tries from that man, Adam Hastings, DTH Van Merwe, Ali Price, and Big Johnny Gray lumbering over to finish off one of the best team tries ever.
Yeah, but not good enough to be nominated by Heineken Cup.
I've worked out why.
Why?
Because they have to make a video that's 2 minutes long. And I think that try to appreciate all of
yes. It was a couple of phases.
It's about 45, 50 seconds from scrum all the way through.
Yes. And if you need one phase of that.
Yeah, if you only showed Price, Hastings, Kick, Ferguson.
Still pretty good.
Actually, it was still pretty sweet.
Yeah.
but the whole thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't get the whole picture.
Did you see the Cardiff Blues website description of Johnny Gray's try?
No.
It said, Cardiff Blues hope was all but extinguished when Johnny Gray galloped over in fortuitous circumstances.
Fortuitous?
Fortuitous. What is that about?
That's very bitter.
Pure skill.
That's so bitter.
It's like eight pieces of really good skill.
Very fortunate. It's actually quite fortunate for a Scottish team to be able to pull off eight bits of skill in a row.
Technically, they might be right.
That is the second bitter sort of comment coming out of Cardiff, though. Obviously, what were your guys' view on the Kick clash? Gareth Amskin called it a complete disgrace or something much worse than that.
I don't have a bit colour, but it wouldn't really bother me. I didn't really notice it that much.
When I was watching it, I didn't really pick it up.
No. I mean, maybe it's different on the pitch. And
Tommy Seymour makes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Comments as well.
Yeah, Tommy Seymour
maybe is. Well, that's the two fullbacks making comments, particularly when they're like running the ball back.
Yeah.
And you just see a wall of shirts. I get it. And I think there was one instance where a Cardiff guy passed the ball back and it went into Callum Gibbons' hands. But
I like the idea that they only realised in the warm-up. Some Cardiff guy was like, those shirts look pretty similar. And their training shirts were too far away. Their spare shirts were too far away for them to collect. Because it is on the home side.
Yes, exactly. Yes, there. Yeah. They're obliged to change.
Such an avoidable sideshow.
Exactly.
I mean, I know it's not Glasgow's job to do it, but...
But they were saying that you have to send in your kit. And there's like data analysis that they do on the kit to see... yeah, I know. It sounds ridiculous. To see whether there will be a clash. So, you know, the Heineken organisers had looked at it.
I suppose the main bodies are quite different. Like, the Cardiff one is quite dark versus light blue and white. So, like, that... I think it's the shoulders bit that...
I just think overall, when you've got players together, though, it blends in.
I like the idea that they're trying to tell people that they run data analysis on the colour of the shirts.
I know.
It's definitely some old lad in like a European Championship office in Dublin that is like, that is fun.
Or it's something they've spent a lot of money on, and then it's just kind of all these spreadsheets and this like nerds being like, oh no, it's fine. And he hasn't actually just looked at the two of them side by side.
Very quickly on the shirts, we should probably talk about the game, but obviously Glasgow got SP Energy Networks, that bright green that just looks so bad on the strip. And the one thing that we noticed was that Land Rover, who are the Cardiff sponsor, have actually changed the colour of their logo.
They've like dulled it down.
To fit the strip, so it fits better with the strip colour. Someone have a word with SP Energy Networks. You got to have a harsher green. Because it just looks
a less
so
harsh green, you mean?
Less.
You mean a darker
No,
green.
I want harsher.
More
a kind
more
of moss,
fluorescent.
You want like a kind of moss green.
A spokesperson for SP Energy Network said, we need more green. Needs to be greener. I mean, what an incredible start, though. First 5 minutes, two tries up. Two very, very good tries as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it felt that you were in for one of those days when you've got that great flat pass, Hastings that finds Ferguson galloping through the gap, and you think, right, this is good, we're in behind, Ferguson's gonna hit it up, recycle, here we go. And he pings like a 20-yard spin pass over the head of like three people to reach Hugh Jones on the other side.
He could have just done a simpler pass though, and the guy was in.
Why though?
Yeah, why?
Matt Ferguson, 20 years old, does what he wants.
You know, just as the aesthetics of a move, you're like, oh, if you just done that pass, it would have been a bit better. I was a bit gutted.
Were you?
Yeah, I was actually.
There you go.
Kind of my OCD coming in.
It was very good. Adam Hastings is very good at that sort of drifting outside line to score tries within the 5 meter line.
Because we were saying it was on and he went outside Anscombe.
Yeah.
Which is like the player you'd least think that would happen to.
He's so threatening with the ball in hand. Like we've seen in this season, being able to shrug off tackles. He's got a big fend and he's got a really good kind of change of direction.
Yeah, speed.
Like I just, and there's just so many good attackers around him that him being a threat just keeps the defense honest the whole time.
It's amazing. The start of that sort of wonder try that went the length of the pitch was sort of him looking a bit ropey, beating one person, going sideways, and then just all of a sudden, a little bit of a jink, gap opens up, finds DTH, Van der Merwe going through. It's like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think it still proves, you know, when you got front foot ball and he has more time, that's when he absolutely tears it up.
Yeah.
And that is very much like his style.
Yeah, of course. And it'd be interesting to see. But I mean, I think he played reasonably well against Saracens, but...
Yeah.
I think once he got into
it, that's where he struggles.
Another strong performance from that Glasgow pack that I think they fronted up. They got much the better of Cardiff. Another amazing performance from Kebble.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought Darcy Ray had another good game as well.
He's coming on
to be doing
nicely this season.
Really well.
Yeah, Darcy Ray's stepped up massively.
Yeah.
A lot of scrum pens at the weekend. There was a couple of ropey looking scrums, but there was definitely some going forward scrum penalties as well.
Yeah. I wonder if post Saracens, where the pack managed to go toe to toe, that would just give them like bucket load of confidence going forward.
Yeah.
And then when you do come up against maybe the likes of a Munster or Leinster in the league, who'll try and grind them down a bit, that they'll be able to deal with that a bit better.
Yeah.
I actually think a big part of that is Harley playing in the second row.
You love Harley.
I don't actually love Harley. I actually think Harley's...
When he's
playing in the back row, you expect certain things from Harley. But in that second row, what you've got, Johnny Gray and Rob Harley, they are just two ridiculous workhorses that just make tackles, hit rucks, just sort of grind out. And I think when you've got a back row with like Wilson and Gibbons, you want to have them sort of doing that sort of roving stuff, not necessarily that heavy graft. And I think having Harley there doing that has been a massive thing for Glasgow.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it allows the likes of Matt Ferguson, who had a great game.
Let's talk about Matt Ferguson.
To just focus on his carrying. And he was doing that to really... He's done that so far in the Champions Cup.
Back-to-back games, his hand is up saying, Gregor Townsend, look at me, pick me at 8 this autumn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's saying. Whether it should be done is a different thing.
No, I agree. And I think he'll definitely start at least one game. And so...
You're saying that about a lot of people.
There's a lot of players. Quite a lot of games, to be fair.
I think these 44 players will play rugby. Come on, be better, do more.
The thing is, he's only 20. And, you know, and it, actually, to be fair, for most of the season, he's been relatively quiet for Glasgow. But weirdly,
he hasn't played, though. Adam Ash was the one that was playing. He's only really been let loose in the Champions Cup.
He's played a few games.
He has played a few games.
Has he?
Played Southern Kings.
But, it's weirdly been relatively quiet in the Pro 14, and then it's really stepped up against Saracens and Cardiff. So hopefully maybe play for Scotland and literally unreal.
He's playing for Doe. He's playing for the money. He's playing for the big money games that are on BT.
That's the thing.
He's already looking to follow Brian to Toulon. He's like, how's he getting picked?
That's true. But no, I mean, it's interesting. Do you, if he's not starting, would you have him on the bench though? Because there's quite a few of the players in that Scotland squad who can cover a lot of the back row.
I suppose, yeah. I suppose the question is, who do you think is Scotland's best number eight? And actually, who do you think Townsend will start in that South Africa game on the assumption that we start our first team against South Africa?
Do you not feel like all the players that could play eight aren't really eights?
Oh, yeah, totally. And that's why I like Ferguson and even Bradbury to a degree.
Yeah.
That they are. But then I suppose if you have Ferguson on the bench, then you would probably start with Wilson, Watson, and... who else am I thinking of here?
Well, Bradbury, but he's out.
But you probably start with someone who's kind of a 6/8/
Dent Wheezy.
Yeah, exactly. So you can sort of like chop and change a bit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter that he's a specialist number eight.
Yeah, that's fair. The tell you I quite liked the weekend, Seymour
at 15.
Mm.
He was looking good.
Interesting.
I actually felt a bit bad for him because on a few of the breaks, he was like right there in the support line, and basically every single time they passed it the other way.
Yeah.
But it shows that he's kind of, he seemed to be not really kind of getting involved as much at the start of this season. And so it looks like he's got his hunger back for it a bit more.
And maybe having a run out at 15 just sort of, you know, gets his hands on the ball a bit more. He's like, right, yeah, this is what I want to be doing. Because I'm sure he still thinks himself as a winger. He's not going to be thinking, oh, I want to play 15.
Yeah.
It does sort of give Scotland loads of options, like sort of cover options. I think Kinghorn's going to play at 15, but if you think you can put Maitland there quite happily.
Put McGuigan there very happily.
Probably put Seymour there. It gives like that, the back
if you needed to.
Three options are really, really nice. Probably why Rui Jackson's found himself outside of the Scotland squad, because he just surplused the requirements now.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought 2 5-point wins on the road as predicted by the Thistle.
So negative.
Thistle rugby pod. So next up in Europe, Edinburgh got back-to-back against Newcastle. Glasgow back-to-back against Lyon. At the moment, who's getting out of the group? Edinburgh or Glasgow? Or both?
All Glasgow need to think. So let's have a look at this. If you get 19 points, you get into the quarterfinals the last 4 years.
Yep.
So they need 9 points v. Lyon, 5 points v. Cardiff at home. I think that's... They focus on that.
So 5 at home, 4 on the road.
And then five at home against Cardiff. So achievable. Gets them 19 points.
How much do you think Lyon, having lost both...
Twice.
They're pretty much out of the game.
Absolutely massive.
They're just going to be like, right, let's focus on Pro 14.
And whilst they're a relatively strong top 14 side, they've never really... Mate had a massive push to win the top 14, and
they're third in the league. I kind of prefer they were further down, like slightly maybe looking at the bottom end of the table.
Yeah,
but then maybe they're thinking, right, Champions Cup isn't going our way. We might have a chance at actually winning the top 14 or getting into the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're going to choose one or the other, and they've got more chance at the moment at the top 14.
I think my prediction right here, this is so negative, but is Glasgow are going to get 2 non-bonus point wins against Lyon, get a bonus point to win against Cardiff, get 18, and come ninth.
Oh, brutal.
And because he didn't take the bonus point against Saracens, they'll end up not getting into the quarterfinals.
There would be some sort of kind of not poetic justice, but...
They'll learn a lesson from that.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Let's hope that's not the case, obviously.
Yeah.
But possibly the more interesting talking point, Newcastle Falcons, 2 from 2 in the Champions Cup. Now got back-to-back games against Edinburgh in the driving seat to get into the quarterfinals, but they're bottom of the Premiership. So surely at some stage they're going to have to make a choice. They cannot fight on two fronts.
No.
And Premiership survival's got to be way more for them.
Where's the first game? Is it...
I think it's at Kingston Park.
Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So if it had been at Murrayfield, sort of hopefully Edinburgh looking to get the win.
Yeah.
And then Newcastle go, actually, this isn't for
the
us.
The interesting ones, I don't know if anyone's got, you guys have got your laptops up. If you get up Newcastle's fixtures coming up in the Premiership, who have they got between now and Edinburgh? Because those are big ones. If they've got
Saracens, Wasps, Exeter.
Well, I think from what I know that there's a little break in the Premiership at the moment, and they play the Young Guns Cup, which is a bit of a fly in the ointment.
But Christmas is a pretty hard time for games, and they've got to play these games before Christmas. So I reckon I still think that Newcastle, if they will be concentrating on the Premiership, even if they put out their full side.
I mean, you go. Oh yeah, rugby cup. I'm just checking now. Yeah, three matches in this cup. Then they've got Quins away, they've got Bath at home, Northampton away. Like, you know, those are all tough matches.
Well, Quins and Northampton are also, they've not had amazing starts to the Premiership season.
No, those
as well.
Are guys
and
that.
So
and then after the two against Edinburgh, they've got Gloucester at home and Bristol away, which, if they're bottom of the league, are two must-win games.
Absolute must-win.
And Harlequin, and then Harlequins at home. Like,
the other thing you got to remember is Edinburgh have played Newcastle in pre-season this year and the year before, and have beaten them both times. So they know the players.
They know that. Well,
I don't know.
I get your point. I don't know how much pre-season you can do.
There's very few Premiership teams that they'll have played twice.
Yes, you know, it's Newcastle are a good side, but they are only Newcastle, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They don't have the sort of fear factor of a Saracens or an Exeter or something like that.
No.
So
there'll be good matches, actually, I think.
They'll be absolutely banging
two
matches.
Good teams.
It's going to be absolutely class.
I think it's a really tough one to call. Just a lot of it depends on... The thing is, Falcons aren't a French team. Like, they're going to try and win every match.
Are they quite similar, Edinburgh and Newcastle, in the way they play? Those are quite big, gritty packs.
I guess one of the negatives for Edinburgh that Newcastle don't have is, I think, maybe only one Newcastle player is in the England squad, Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson's in the England squad, and Chris Harris is in the
Scotland
squad.
Chris Harris is in the Scotland squad. They've got the Premiership Cup for like the next 3 weeks. They can literally rest all their big guns for three weeks.
Yeah.
Whereas all of Edinburgh's big guns are going to be literally fighting out against Fiji and South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edinburgh's front five is going to start for Scotland.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
So, just in terms of it's a long season, and those Newcastle players are going to have an extended time off probably for the next three weeks. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, fascinating.
I think Edinburgh are a better team than Newcastle, though.
I agree with that, but I think there's just so many mitigating circumstances.
Yeah.
Intriguing. It'll be very intriguing, and I think we'll get a sign of that. I think whilst Newcastle have obviously got that Premiership Cup or whatever it's called, Edinburgh, and we will look forward to it in a second after a quiz, have got Zebra at the weekend. Well, so Zebra, who are going to be shorn of 14 players for the Italy game, apparently, because Italy are playing, they're playing some early match against Ireland in America.
So
the Italy squad are already together. So the Zebra team is the ultimate shags.
Oh my God. They're going to be so bad.
So we will come on to preview that in a second. Alan, you've got a social media quiz, I believe.
Yes, social media quiz, which, as always, was done on the walk home.
Very good.
So, apologies for the limited selection. Right.
Go on then.
Stuart Hogg posted a photo on Instagram this week at the Outlaw King premiere.
Yeah.
Which, where SRU have got their weird deal with Netflix at the moment.
Yeah, SRU have got a deal with Netflix. Is that weird? Is that something people do?
Take the cash.
Yep. Yeah.
Duncan Ware posted a comment.
Oh.
Was it? Hanging hairline. Pube head. Or Wayne Rooney? Hanny, I'll let you go first.
I'm going to say Wayne Rooney.
Davos?
I would like to say Wayne Rooney as well. Am I allowed to? Depending on the rules of this quiz?
You can. And you'll both be wrong.
Oh, we're both wrong.
All right.
Duncan Ware wrote pube head.
Coming from Duncan Ware.
And then did the thing with the kind of eyeglass and then a cowboy hat emoji.
That's very strange. Maybe that's where they take the hair follicles from to implant into your head.
God. Maybe.
Like, I'm not joking. I'm sure I've read somewhere that they take like the sample of the hair, wherever you're getting your hair.
You've been doing some research, mate.
I don't need it. This is solid.
Are you breaking an exclusive that Stuart Hogg has had his pubes transplanted onto
somebody,
his head?
Somebody look that up. I bet he's got a really good defamation lawyer as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right, we're going to get our first legal letter. Best move on quickly.
Right. No.
Ali Price
loves doing some ad content.
Yeah, he does.
He for a sponsor, he deadlifted something this week. Was it a sterling sofa, B, crates of Iron Brew, or C, a Lexus car? Dave, we'll start with
I think
you.
I saw that. I think it was a Lexus.
Okay, I think it's Lexus.
Oh,
well.
You're giving it away to me.
Damn.
I was going to say that before he started giving away
it.
It
was
game.
A Lexus car, who aren't a sponsor of Scotland or Glasgow. So they, obviously it's like a personal sponsor. For
they
Ali
all
Price.
Have little deals with like local car dealerships and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sounds really sweet.
Nick Frisby's got like a articulated lorry from Murray.
From Malcolm Group.
Malcolm Group, sorry. Yeah.
It's got a forklift.
Yeah, exactly.
So what am I to do with this?
Ollie Kebble, obviously pining now that Hugh Jones is off in Scotland camp.
Yeah.
Posted on Instagram some late night television he was watching.
Ooh.
Was it Strictly Come Dancing?
Interesting.
The British Bake Off.
Yeah.
Or X Factor.
Oh.
Hanny.
I'm going to go GBBO.
GBBO.
That's the Bake Off, right?
Yes, that is the Bake Off.
X Factor.
Kebble loves the Bake Off.
Oh! He's a big lad, to be fair.
That is true.
So that's a 2-1 to Matt.
2-1 to Matt. Right. We're going to do final one, and then I've got a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Someone posted on Stuart Hogg's photo, I know Jesus turned water into wine, but what's he done? He's done some job on your hairline. Did I say who wrote that?
No.
What Irish rugby player wrote that on Stuart Hogg's Instagram? Was it A, Simon Zeebo, B, Conor Murray, or C, Ian Henderson? Hanny.
I think Ian Henderson's quite random there, so I'm going to go for Ian Henderson.
Ian Henderson?
I am going to go with Conor Murray because they roomed together on the Lions.
That's why I put Conor Murray in there.
Damn.
It was Simon Zeebo.
Oh, right.
Oh. That's probably Finn saying, go on, pile in.
Pile
into that.
Well, there you go. Hanny, 2-1.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's very
you
good.
You're backing yourself early doors as well.
I was. I look at a lot of social media when I'm meant to be working. So
that's fair.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Okay. So quiz, another win from Matt. Nothing new there. Right. Let's preview. How about Glasgow's trip to Munster, back to the grind of the Pro 14? What do you guys think of this one? Quite a tasty matchup.
Probably a relatively budget.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Won't be the best teams because of the international call-ups. I feel like Munster's second string in that kind of match quite effective though, just because they will be like, you know, very route one,
yeah,
as Munster kind of are, kind of grind out a result. But I think increasingly Thomond Park, apart from maybe in the Champions Cup, like, isn't that intimidating a venue for Glasgow as it once was.
Yeah,
I think they should be, you know, they'll still put out a strong side and hope to come away with something.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what team Glasgow actually managed to string together. Alan, any thoughts?
I think Munster are going to be less hit by internationals, and I think Munster will actually have a relatively easy win.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ireland have named like a 45-man squad there.
Yeah, I guess maybe
the Leinster team though.
Yeah.
30 Leinster lads. No one from Connacht.
I just don't know where that who they're going to be playing. I guess at 10, is Pete Horn going to be released? I guess when it becomes clearer who is going to be released for that game, it'll
yeah,
be a
that's
lot
a bit
more interesting.
I mean, yeah, and then it could be Brandon Thompson.
Yeah,
and it's like
could be Brandon Thompson. Could be Nick Frisby. We were told he can play a bit of 10.
That is true.
It's going to be very interesting to see what that shape of that Glasgow team is.
I mean, I don't even know who they're going to play at second row. Like Greg Peterson and
Greg Peterson's away with America.
For fuck's sake.
I think Swinson's back.
Oh, really?
Whether they chuck him in or not.
It'll be Scott.
And then
Scott
Andy
Davis. Cummings.
Cummings still injured, I think.
Cummings is still injured.
And then Andrew Davidson's gone back to
back
Newcastle.
To Newcastle. They got Kieran McDonald coming back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's thin.
Seriously threadbare there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Marfell's going to have to start.
Well, he put Rob Harley in the row, I suppose.
Sarli not with the Scotland squad?
Yeah, but presumably he'll be released, right?
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah. Who knows?
I think depending on if they get a good amount of releases, then they'll have a chance. But
yeah,
my view is I think Munster will probably take it.
Fair play. Edinburgh down in Zebra, down in Parma. That's got to be Edinburgh roll on.
I think both teams will be absolutely battered with.
Yeah.
Cockrell was talking this week about he's got three fit second rows, and he's gonna have to start Callum Hunter-Hill. He's only had two starts before, and he's gonna have to bring in Jamie Hodgson, who's been playing for Watsonians, and maybe Callum Atkinson, who's been playing for Barmier. So it's like, right, okay, they're kind of in trouble. Might be. It depends on who gets released. If you're saying if Jamie Ritchie gets released, which he might, he could play in second row, at a push. So I don't think this is going to be the best match.
I don't think the next two rounds of matches are going to be particularly good. Particularly next week's match. It's like Edinburgh versus the Scarlets on the Friday night before Scotland play Wales on the Saturday. Yeah. The stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's ridiculous.
But Blade Thompson playing for Scarlets.
Of course.
Blade Thompson playing for Scarlets, yeah. Cause he won't be
and Hidalgo Klein's not on the squad, is he?
No, he's not. Not one of the four scrum halves.
So... Edinburgh bonus point win, though.
Yeah, I hope. If you strip out all of the Italy internationals from Zebra and all of the Scotland internationals from Edinburgh, the other way around. Edinburgh's second team or third team is going to be better than Zebra's second or third team.
I think Matt, I don't know if... Cochrane was talking about Matta still playing.
I don't know if... Are we Fiji's first game?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's
in, that's in a couple. That's in a couple weeks.
Also, you know, like with Fiji, like they won't actually meet up till like the day before.
Yeah,
and it'll be like in Enfield Park, but not on the rugby pitch. Yeah. It'll be like next to the pond on the slant.
Yeah. I think that's more likely that youngsters in that Edinburgh squad will go down there and put in a massive shift to impress Cockers and that culture and the thing that he's got going at Edinburgh. Than like the also runs from Glasgow. It just feels to me that there's more incentive at Edinburgh at the moment.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Yeah, you don't really care, do you?
No, I do care. I do care. It's just, you know, there's other things to get excited about.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to say, fuck it. We're positive now after that email. I'm being positive. Two bonus point wins. Here we go.
Well, one bonus point win and a bonus point loss.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Should we wrap it up there then, lads?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us, guys. And we will see you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.